song that the Lord is everything that we need. And I just felt the healing and everything you might need today is here and available. So I just feel you must receive today what you need from the Lord. Amen.
Well, hello, everybody. Are you all strong and good? Yes, Jesus makes a difference, eh? Really? Unashamedly love worshiping Jesus. There's no other distraction on the face of this earth that is as great as being enamored with Jesus. Do you agree? I don't know. Sure. It's like, what if I said to you, hey, aren't you glad the All Blacks won? It's like a little bit of a response. Strange response. But guys, I tell you, today's a great day. Because today we get to come together and look at Him and see Him and have our lives just realigned and readjusted. You can have so many troubles and so many trials and so many expectations from life and so many frustrations and so many things that are not going your way, but it's never like that with Jesus. Honestly, He is everything. He's everything when He's done what you wanted, and He's everything when He hasn't done what you wanted. Amen. He's not somebody said it recently, He's not a genie in a bottle that you rub the right way and all of a sudden you get your thing. You know, if you're only happy with Jesus when He does what you want, then He's a genie to you. But He's actually King and Savior all the time. He's always good. He's always lovely. He's always wonderful. And in fact, all resistance crumbles in the face of Jesus. He's so beautiful and so lovely. And so it would be great for us to look at the Word this morning and to focus on Him. Now, I like to think that I'm technologically advanced. And I did spend a lot of time preparing my preach. And I did save it to Google Drive. And it's not here. Yeah. So who's come for a word from the Lord this morning? Oh, Jesus, help me. All right, so I know what we'll do. We'll put that down. We'll open the Bible. And we'll let the Lord communicate what He wants to communicate today. How's that? Lord God, we thank You so much that You are King, that You are Lord, and that You are Father of every one of us. And we want to thank You so much for showing us Your love by sending Your Son, Jesus, to the earth. Born in a manger. Walked on the earth. Healed and touched and set people free. Mocked and ridiculed and hung on a cross. Died for us and has risen again. Jesus, seated in heaven, and poured out Your Spirit for every one of us. Surely there's no greater news on all the earth than what You've done. We want to ask You, Lord God, for Your presence to be so real to every person right here, right now. I want to thank You, Lord, that You would speak. I pray, God, that through Your Word You would minister and You would help me, Lord. You help every one of us, God, to be realigned to what You desire and what You want. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for this time. Thank You, God, that we can be surrendered to You and do what You want to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. So if you can, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 13. We're going to look at verse 1 to 9. And I've been preaching through the parables of Jesus. Jesus had wonderful things to say. If you could focus on the red letters in your Bible, if you've got a red letter Bible, that's all the words that Jesus has said. If you had to focus on those things, it would change your life forever. You would understand why God has done what He's done throughout history. You would understand that everything points to Jesus, that He is the center of it all. And when you hear what God is saying through His Son Jesus, you're hearing everything that God has to say to you. The final word that God would ever have to you is Jesus. Everything is wrapped up in Jesus. If you've got Jesus, you've got everything. If you don't have Jesus, you're lacking. Just this week, a realization came to my heart that, folk, we have got what the world needs as the Church of Jesus Christ. Do you realize that you have got it? We don't lack what the world has. Many of us are living in lack trying to get from the world what we think we need. Hello? But if we come to know Jesus, if we come to put our trust in Jesus, if we come to receive Jesus, we've got what the world needs. You might not have all the money. You might not have all your solutions. You might not have just peace in your home or whatever the case may be, family members, all kinds of things that can happen everywhere. But this is the truth, that if you have Jesus, you've got the solution. And if you have Jesus, you've got what the world needs. Can we become a church that don't have this poverty mentality, that we're always begging God for something because we're jealous of what the world has? Hello? Let's not be jealous of what the world has and begging God to give us what the world has when He's already given us His Son, and that's everything that the world needs. When we start to live in that place of understanding that we've been filled with the fullness of Christ and we've been given, as believers in Jesus, everything that we need to fill and satisfy our hearts, we're the ones walking around with what the world is looking for. We've got the answers. We've got the solution. We've got the presence of God. Do you know that you were designed and made to be a temple for God to live in? Do you understand that? This fleshly tent that we walk around in, this little astronaut suit, it's designed so that we can live on the planet Earth. It's actually designed for us to have God on the inside. You were created hollow. And you're created complete when Jesus is in you. When your Maker fills that suit. Is that good? When Jesus is in you, you've got everything. You can walk with Him. You can see His power manifest. You can see so many things. But the world is longing for this. You know, when the world sees the peace that a Christian has, they're thirsty. When they see the hope that we have, even at a funeral, they're hungry. When they have placed all their investment in seeing education being the answer of the country. It's not. Jesus is. Jesus is the answer. We can make it all about winning a little, what's his last name? Ellis Trophy. Yeah, Wilbur Ellis. If it's all about that, fuck, gee, I tell you, how many of you were sad last night? I was very, very sad. Now, you cannot win a rugby game if you kick the ball to the opponent all the time. Exactly, see? But you know what? At the end of the day, so what? So what? It's not all about that. We've got what the world needs. We've got the victory. We've got the cup already. We've got it. It's Jesus Christ. He's in us. And we've got to give Him out to people. Folk, understand what we've been designed for and what we've been given is wonderful and is glorious. Jesus inside you. When we were in Rwanda, I had the privilege of traveling with Hilton and a girl named Zama from Impangeni. And I tell you, we had fun. I mean, Hilton was just, Holly, you'll know, Hilton's sister's here today, and he's just a card, eh? We laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed the whole time, the whole trip. When people asked us how, we went into six different regions, into the Great Lakes, and it was, I mean, it's amazing. You got some testimony from Tony and Sandy who were with us, and it was just, honestly, we had such fun. And when we heard about the other guys' trips, they said they had fun, but we knew in our hearts we had the most fun. But Tony and Sandy will tell you that they felt like they had the most fun. But it was just amazing, just the presence of God. But on one occasion we engaged with, well, Hilton engaged with a Jehovah's Witness, who was one of the waiters at the hotel we were staying. And, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses have got an argument for everything to negate the truth. Their Bible is even altered in a way to suit what they believe. It's. I tell you, when I see them coming down the road with their briefcases, I cringe, because the whole cultness of it is to turn people away from Jesus. But the thing, as we were talking, I mean, I got to the point where I just said to the guy straight out, you are deceived, and this thing is not going to get you to God. And he said, I'm deceived, and I'm not going to get you. So it was like this thing. So I said, well, I'll tell you what the difference is. The God in heaven lives inside of me. And he said, no ways. And I said, yes ways. And I said, that's the difference. And I walked away. Jesus is inside of me. Jesus is inside of you. That's what we've been designed for, folk. To negate that is to negate the very thing that God made us to be. We've been created for God to live on the inside. Have you got God on the inside? Is He on the inside? Do you feel Him? Can you sense Him? Are your affections stirred by the things that stir Him? Can you feel when He feels pain by what we see? Can you feel Him move towards it to heal it? On one occasion, I was preaching about the glory of Jesus, preaching about seeing Jesus. Hilton preached on the touch of Jesus. We didn't preach anything else but Jesus. We don't go to the nations to go tell some clever little Christianese and some nice little ideas of how to run church. We go and we preach Jesus. Because often when we come, it's about Jesus. And when we go, it's still about Jesus. And if we've gone and Jesus remains, that's all they need. But we preach Jesus. And at the end of this one meeting, this demon-possessed, clearly demon-possessed boy was being brought in with his mother having tied sheets around him and around his hands and around his waist to control him. And brought him. Now, I mean, if a demon can fill a person, what about when God fills a person? It's completely different. The Jehovah's Witness wasn't around then. Anyway, this person, this poor boy, you could see his hands were burnt. Just like in the scriptures, it talks about Jesus brought the son, the man brought his son to Jesus who was demon-possessed and was throwing himself in the fire. This boy's hands were burnt. His ears were bleeding, probably from smacking his own head. I mean, he was out of control. I had to hold his head to try and look into his eyes, and he wouldn't look. So it was just a demonic work over him. And then, I mean, I don't know if you've had any experience with some of the demonic, but in African churches, the pastors there started going commando on this guy. I mean, they were binding and casting and everything, but they were taking him by the head and they were pushing him on the chest. And I was like, no, I don't think this is the way Jesus heals people from these kind of things. But I thought, let me just let it ride, because obviously they've had experience and they do this before. And I have seen when people do deal with the demonic, you don't play around. You don't, hello demon, how are you, what's your name? You get out in the name of Jesus, man. This body is not built for demons, it's built for Christ. So you tell him to go. So I just witnessed this thing and I thought, no, but I felt like the love of God would set this boy free. So I started to pray for him. I just started to rub his shoulder. I started to rub his back. And I mean, this guy was bound. In it all. I mean, he could not control himself. His hand was reaching out to touch my leg. And I thought, my God, the love of God is going to win and is going to destroy the work of the enemy. And so he didn't get set free right away. I sent a message out to the church. You guys have been praying. Later on the third day, when I came, the mother came to us and said to us, he's been at peace. And he hadn't been as difficult as it had been before. He wasn't bound up. So something was happening. God was setting him free. But like the scripture says, some requires prayer and fasting. Sometimes it's a continued battle. And so the youth leader of the church committed. He said, I'm going to pray and fast for this man. So that's what he was doing. On the last day, on the last Sunday when we were there, Hilton and I went outside. We asked, where is the guy? You could tell the demonic is weird, man, because he was hiding in the corner of the church and there was a woman's voice coming out of his mouth. Initially, I was like, who's saying that? I'm like, where's the woman? I was looking and I was trying to preach. I stopped preaching and I went and I was like, where's that sound? I could not. It was so disruptive. So I found, and it was the boy in the corner. And I was like, my gosh. I said, be still in the name of Jesus. Still talks. I said, okay, take him out. So they take him out and he's hiding. They took him to the back of the church. So we finished preaching. When we went to the back of the church, there he was. And he was, now these things are obviously messing him around again. And so Hilton and I just started to pray for him again. So I asked for oil, anointed his head, anointed his feet, anointed his hands, just prayed Jesus and his presence over him, and he fell asleep. It was beautiful to see. Now, at our last meeting, he came forward when I asked for the sick and anybody needing prayer. He came forward and he came to me, and this is what he like, if you're praying for me, he came and took my hand and put it on his chest. I was like, yes, God. Now, there's the love of God had broken through. There was something happening in his life. I tell you there, just to be able to preach over this guy, to be able to just stand and declare over him, you were made for the glory of God. You were made for Jesus to fill you and to change the world. You were not made for demons to destroy you. Every one of us have been made to be filled with God and to shine for God and to go and make a difference. We mustn't be scared when we see the things of the enemy folk. We mustn't be scared when we see darkness. We mustn't be scared that there's African masks that have been made by the demonic. Folk, when we come into a place with Jesus in us, Jesus comes. That means darkness trembles. We don't come into a place where there's darkness and we tremble. Jesus is not on the inside going, oh, oh, oh. He's the one who's greater is he who's in us than anything that's in the world. When we go to a place with Christ in us, the power of God is present. The presence of God is present. He can change things. We need to be impacting and influencing and increasing God's kingdom in the earth, in our own homes, in our families. The enemy's subtle at trying to get you to think that God doesn't have any control anymore. The enemy is subtle at trying to have this little track record of events in your life where God didn't do what God was supposed to do, and so you negate his power. Jesus is still king and still powerful and will still do amazing things everywhere. And he's inside you. And let God be God, but bring his presence. Allow him to change circumstances, situations. We shouldn't be affected by everything that happens. There will be rust on this earth. Hello? Your beautiful Mercedes-Benz will rust. Exactly. Not in the... There are thieves. Hello? There are moths. Moths. But nothing can touch this soul. Amen. This is what gives. Nothing can touch when he's on the inside. Man, it's different. And for God is wanting to see us bear fruit for him. He's wanting to use us to increase impact and influence the whole world for his glory. Starting where you live, in Joburg, in South Africa, in the nations of the earth. So, somebody made this comment the other day. And is what's the word? Accused church leaders, including me, of not having anything to say about world events. So where's the church? Or you, church leader, why don't you have anything to say about hashtag fees must fall? Okay, are you with me on that one? Why are you not having anything to say about Hurricane Patricia in Mexico? You know, the world has this expectation that the church is going to have the answers to all the problems for every little problem that comes up. And so, in fact, what many would want for me to be, as a pastor, somebody that just watches the news all day long, and then have a spiritual answer for everything that's happening there, and then put it out on Facebook and social networks so that we can all feel good about it. If I lived like that, folk, it would be the world impacting and influencing me. And then me responding to the world with things of God. But we need to live in a different space. We need to live where God is influencing us and we are changing things around us. And yes, we might have something to say about some of the world events because God knows what's going on in the world. But it's not all about that. And so I can guarantee you now, that in our country, we will have another struggle for an e-toll or an e-tag or a student fees, or there will be something that somebody doesn't want to pay. Hello? We're going to have another struggle very soon. Don't worry. We will have another political situation. Hello? You think the world doesn't change, folk? And in Jesus' day, there was Caesar. And in Paul's day, there was Nero. And you never see Jesus or Paul taking on politics and explaining the situations in the world. You only see him bringing the kingdom of God. You only see Jesus influencing and changing eternal souls while in temporary things. If we focus on the temporary things, we're going to miss the eternal. Let's focus on the eternal things and see God change the temporary. It is temporary, the things that we go through. The trouble you're going through now is temporary. The situation in our country is temporary. The electricity is temporary. Okay. But God's power is eternal. God's power doesn't fade. God's power doesn't stop. God's power keeps flowing. God's influence and increase and power keeps changing things. There will be sick people and you will get sick again. And I'm not speaking negative things over you. We live in a fallen world. But the kingdom of God is not fallen. And the kingdom of God is impacting this world. And so we will see God restore amazing things. And we will see him restore all things. In the end. But for now, he's giving us little tastes and little glimpses of his power and his ability to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to set people free from demons. His kingdom is powerful and it does reign. But just please bear with me. There will be troubles. There will be persecutions. There will be people who do not agree with us. There will be people who tell us that we are the ones that are struggling with a homosexual issue. Because we are struggling with a real truth that's out there, but this Bible is not true. And so when the Bible says something about that, the Bible's not true. Because that's more true than the Bible. And so the world is saying that we are struggling. Because we've become narrow-minded to this Bible. I'm narrow-minded. And I like being narrow-minded. Because a wide mind is a bit flaky. But a mind that's narrowed on Jesus is going to bring freedom and power and folk. The Bible says what it says because it wants to heal and wants to set free and wants to influence. The world's confused, not the church. The Bible's not confused, the world is. Can we start to study this, get to grips with its truths, and change the world around us? Amen. I think God is speaking this morning. This was not in my notes. He is stirring us. God on the inside. He wants to influence and impact. Now look at this. Luke chapter 13. There was some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. So in other words, there were some present at the time, CNN, who told Jesus about the whatever political party who was had their blood mingled with whichever king or ruler. And he answered them, do you think that these Galileans or whoever in the world going through whatever trouble they're going through were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will also likewise perish. So what's the issue? The issue is not what's happening in the world. The issue is not whether people are good or whether people are bad in order because they get what they get. We're all going to get something of this broken world. The bottom line is, have you repented and do you believe? That's the greatest issue of all. Because if we don't, there is perishing. Folk, I'm not a doomsday prophet. But if the Bible's true, then hell is true. Okay. If hell is true, people are going to go there for rejecting Jesus. That's hectic. That's real. They won't go there if they believe the gospel. They'll hear the gospel if we tell them. The greatest issue in this world today, doesn't matter what's happening to the Galileans or anywhere else on this whole earth, is will people repent and believe in Jesus? It's the main thing, folk. So God can use all those things to stir people for a hunger for something better. Because they are hungry for something better. Do you think all the students really want free education? Do you think free education is going to be the answer to every single student in our country? Perhaps it will be. Some of the greatest countries in the world give free education. But if we get free education, do you think that's going to be the answer? But unless you repent, you'll also perish. Hello? It's about the spiritual thing. So we can use that. God offers himself freely. Then it says this, verse 4, and those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell. Let me rephrase it. Those, however, hundreds on whom Hurricane Patricia struck the coast of Mexico. Well, now we're like, oh, you see, it's the judgment of God. It's a judgment because the Mexicans, they've been doing something naughty again. Folk, it's got nothing to do with it. When Hurricane Katrina hit, what's that place? New Orleans. Everyone, oh, you see, it's because they're sinners. And they haven't been worshipping God. And America is not worshipping God, so that's why they're in trouble. Folk, if you don't worship God, you're in trouble. Period. Whether you have a great life in Hawaii, or whether you live it up in Las Vegas, but Las Vegas has never had a hurricane. Doesn't even rain there. So, I mean, what is that? It's got nothing to do with folk. At the end of the day, trouble and strife will happen in this world. The bottom line is, do you believe? Have you repented of your sin? Because the biggest trouble is coming. Amen. Let's let this thing, let it carry in our hearts. God has an expectation that people will put their trust in him. And then it says this, unless you repent, you will also perish. And then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in a vineyard. And he came seeking fruit, and he found none. And he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years now I've been seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I've found none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? And he answered him, sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. And so the Lord is sharing a story here to show us that God is like the owner of the field. And we are like the fig tree which has been planted in the field. And God comes and he asks, is there fruit? And God wants to know from every one of our lives, is there fruit? When you are born again, and God comes to live inside of your heart, it's expected that there will be fruit. How many of you have seen things change around your life when Jesus has come in? Hello? That's fruit. That's what happens. You can talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness, goodness. Did I get them all? When the Spirit of God is inside of you, there's fruit. And God expects fruit. God is expecting you to influence. God is expecting you to bring about change. God is expecting you to bring fruit. This is the first commandment that God gave in Genesis 1 verse 28. It says, for God so loved the world. No, it doesn't. It's testing your Bible knowledge. We should actually have a Bible knowledge test. Do you know the Bible? Do you know the one of whom it speaks? You can know the Bible, but do you know the one it talks about? Do you know him? Read it and get to know him. Please, please read your Bibles, folk. Please read about Jesus. Please spend time in his word. Genesis 1, verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God has created you for dominion. I was at the Botanical Gardens, I shared it the other day with you, and I was watching those beautiful black eagles. The father, the mother, juvenile. And they were flying around. I was like, yes, well, that's amazing. But then I felt like the Lord reminded me of the scripture. I thought, geez, look how high and how beautiful they are up there. And I felt like God said to me, I've called you to dominate that. I've called you to be above that, to rule over the birds of the air. Fuck, let the understanding of what the greatness of what He's called us to. The greatness of when the King is inside of us. And this kingdom, the kingdom of Jesus, will subdue every kingdom on the face of the earth. It's above every kingdom. Kingdom of ISIS, kingdom of governments, kingdom of anything. His kingdom is above. He's called us to dominate and to rule. But unfortunately, we've involved ourselves in the fruitless deeds of darkness. And that's what happened when Adam ate of the wrong fruit. When God said be fruitful, He didn't mean eat the wrong fruit. So he ate the wrong fruit. He tried and said, oh, well, I want to know. Yeah, God, if you call me to dominate, I'll dominate then. Ate the wrong fruit. The only way we dominate is with God. The minute we reject God, we're under. And so Jesus comes to restore that. Jesus comes to dominate again. When the enemy tempts Jesus, he says, man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And Jesus overcomes the enemy. And Jesus lives an unselfish life. And Jesus wasn't dominated by His flesh. He dominated it. And when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, Lord, not my will be done, but Your will be done. Your will dominates, not mine. Not how I feel right now. I'm hungry. I haven't slept. I've got to go to a cross. Oh, Father, please. That's not quite the comfortable life I thought I'd be living by 33. That's Jesus, folk. 33. I'm 37. I'm 4 years older on earth than Jesus was. If 4 years ago God said to me, lay down your life and die, I might question that. Kids, family, God, you know, hang on. Just kicking off here, just started leading a church. Not my will be done, yours be done. Not my will dominate, not my will influencing everything. Not I want it my way. Let's sing about New York, New York. I did it my way. It's not about that. It's not about I'm going to get it my way. I'm going to do it my thing. And if this better suit me, and this baby better stop crying, and this thing better, and this better look nice, and those rose bushes better look nice, and all this kind of thing. Sometimes we're trying to control everything for our own will, but rather let it bow and let God's will, because even if you've got to go through a cross, God's will is going to get you to a resurrection that's far greater than if you resisted the suffering. Crosses, folk. We want the crown. We want to soar above the eagles. The way up is the way down. Humble yourself and say, God, have your way. So look what Jesus does. Jesus is the fruitful one. For 3 years, Jesus ministers, right? God expects fruit from Jesus. If you had to judge Jesus by the kind of number of fruit, would you think that Jesus was highly successful in his lifetime? You're all saying, because you all love Jesus. But honestly, when he died and when he was buried, he only had 120 people and left in the upper room. That's not a very big world-changing ministry right there, hello? Where's all the 5,000 people that were fed? 5,000 men, let alone the women and the children. There could have been 15,000 on two occasions in two different places. So let's say it's 50,000. Where are the 30,000 people that ate the bread that he miraculously provided? Where are they? They're gone. Because they were in it for the bread. Only 120 left in the upper room. Is that, you know? I mean, look around the room here today. I think we're between 120 and 150 people here today. That's it. Now we're going to go change the world. How's that possible? The Holy Spirit comes upon Peter. He starts to preach, and 3,000 people are added in one day. That's powerful. That's Jesus is alive. That's fruitful. So sometimes we don't think we think we're seeing fruit, but that's not the fruit that God had in mind. There's wonderful things in store for us. So Jesus, but look at this. Jesus goes to a tree and hangs on a tree, like a fig tree. And for 3 years, it doesn't seem like there's much fruit. Let's be honest. But then, in the parable, it says, but let's dig around the roots. And let's put some manure on it. And maybe give it a year. And let's see if there's fruit. And so Jesus ministers for 3 years. And he gets put onto a cross, and a big fork comes and stabs him. And that's like working in the soil. around this tree. And all the manure of the sin of every single one of us is dumped on Jesus. And he dies. But he rose again. And when he rose again, folk, there was fruit. And every single one of us here, 2,000 years later, are still worshipping Jesus and praising Jesus. There is fruit in the ministry of Jesus Christ. There is fruit. Jesus is fruitful. And what makes him fruitful, folk? He's making disciples. You and I. We are the fruit of his sacrifice. We are the fruit of the gardener, the great gardener God, who stuck the fork into the roots of the tree. We are the fruit. It's a beautiful thing. And God wants to see that we become fruitful. What does it mean to be fruitful? Jesus said it, the great commission, the great commandment. Go into all the earth and make disciples. Go and influence. Go and change one heart at a time. Even if it means one demon-possessed man in the eastern parts of Rwanda, in the center of Africa, if our whole ticket price was just so that we could go to that man for him to experience the love of God, it was worth it. It was worth it. You know, Jesus crossed the sea, calmed the storm, gets to the other side, and there's a demon-possessed man with a legion of demons in him. And the demons say to Jesus, cast us into the pigs. So Jesus says, get out, go into the pigs. 2,000 pigs fall in the sea. How much does one pig cost? Johan? Say 1,000 rand for one pig. Okay? Now you can understand why those farmers were upset. There were pig farmers there. They were very upset. Because 2,000 pigs have just gone into the sea. How much does one pig cost? 1,000 rand? 2,000 pigs will cost? 2 million rand. 2 million rand is sacrificed for one man to be set free from the demonic. And then they say to Jesus, get out of here. We don't want you here. And he leaves, goes back across the sea, and goes back to Galilee. He came all that way to set one man free, and it cost 2 million rand. Come on. That's impacting and influencing. And that man went and told 10 cities about Jesus. He said, peace, can I follow you, Jesus? Jesus said, don't follow me. Go and tell your friends. And he told 10 cities. Jesus couldn't even get to those cities. But that man went. We will see. Ray, you and I, we will see that poor demon-possessed boy. When we get to heaven, how many cities he's told about Jesus Christ to set him free. It's wonderful. Make disciples. That's what's fruitful. Start in your own home. Tell your children about Jesus. Your husband, your wife. Speak to tell about Jesus. Can I say this? This church would have less counseling to do if husbands loved their wives and if wives loved their husbands. Hello? Because we get pulled into people's issues which actually need to get resolved between the people. If a husband and wife loved each other like Jesus loves, there's no issue. In fact, the worship will be better. Because you'll be coming here after Saturday night. Hello? Can I? After the rugby game. For you single people in this place, divorced, widowed, widower, single, not married yet, for single people in this place, you have got an opportunity to be fruitful for the glory of God. Because a person who's married has to spend time on God and their partner. Sometimes it's easy. Other times it's not so easy. If you're single, you can be fruitful. You can be used by God to disciple others. You can be involved. You can share. Tony and Sandy, won't you come up, please? Folk, we had 17 people together with Manny. I mean, Manny is an incredible guy. Manny and Dawn, they organized this trip, and 17 people went from 10 different churches, including a church in Warrnambool, Australia, got together to impact, influence, increase the kingdom in Rwanda, in Burundi, and Eastern Congo. 6 teams spread out over the 10 days that we were there. So Manny was in Kisenya in the north. Tabiso from Cosmo City Church was in Butare in the south. what's his name? Jack Swire was in Kigali, in the center of Rwanda. Then we had Rodney and Nita Lloyd, who had Sandton City Church, and Werner from a church in Cape Town, Werner Badenhorst. They went into Bukavu, Eastern Congo. Then myself, Hilton, and Zama from Impangeni went across to the eastern part of Rwanda, Nyagatari. And Tony and Sandy and the Australian couple were with Manny in Gisenyi. And then Mark Goodfellow from Modderfontein and Warren Blackbeard from Four Ways Community Church went into Burundi. Folk, some of the pastors in Rwanda have said, we will not go to Burundi because of the trouble there. And they stood up and they said, we're ashamed that you have come from South Africa and have gone to Burundi where we didn't want to go. They were the only people, the hotel opened for the two of them. There's no one in that place. People have run away. There's an unwritten 7 o'clock curfew. You just do not walk the streets. But they went for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they went and preached. And the churches are hungry for Jesus, folk. So, how can you go there? Why can we do this? You know what? Where the biggest trouble on the earth is right now, that's exactly where we need to go. Because that's not going to influence us. We go there to influence it. We go to change the world. We change things for the sake of the kingdom. The God is in us. Where we go, things change. Hello. If we're scared the whole time, we'll never see anything. Because in our faith is not in a God who's greater in us. Our faith is in the problem that's greater than us. Let's not, somebody said that thing, let's not tell our God how big the mountain is. But tell the mountain our God big. What? So, tell us about it. Tony, Sandy, they've been a blessing, eh?
Thanks, Brad. Brad, you're seriously wrong. We had the most fun. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I just want to start off by saying that I can't say that it's easy. It's definitely not easy. It's stretching. It's challenging. The environment's different. But, man, what a blessing. A nation that could teach us many things. I mean, you all know the history. 20 years ago, a nation that was destroyed. And today, a nation that loves. It's only Jesus.
Sure.
So I just want to tell one story. Manny preached on many subjects while we were there, because we had three days of teaching. And we all had an opportunity to teach, but the one subject he teached on was speaking in tongues. And he challenged the congregation, or it's actually leaders and deacons and elders, he challenged them about speaking in tongues. And, we all speak in tongues. And then he said, okay, demonstrate it. And they were reserved, and Zacchaeus, who led this one church that we were at, he said to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, can you speak in tongues? And Zacchaeus got up. And he started speaking in tongues. I can tell you that destroyed me. It changed me for life. I was humbled. He must have gone on for 5 minutes. But what a humble and what a courageous man in God. And I honored him at the end. I said, Zacchaeus, you have changed my life. By that one demonstration of speaking in tongues, the Lord came over him, and everybody was in tears.
Wow.
It was incredible.
Wow.
It's a nation that loves. I mean, we had pastors come up to us and hug us and start crying. They didn't want us to leave. Even though, in actual fact, if I have to be honest, you know, we all took a church, and we preached in the church, and we had our messages, and they went off well on everybody, as far as I know. But if I come away saying that we deposited something in that country, I would be lying to you. I think that country deposited something in us.
Beautiful.
And so I encourage you, if you have any thoughts of going into the nations, I really encourage you to make every effort you can to join the teams and go there. It's seriously, we're blessed, but we are extremely blessed.
Beautiful, Tony. It's great.
Yeah. It was amazing. second what Tony says about Zacchaeus, the glory of God just fell in his presence that day. Mm. Oh, so much to say. It's just, I feel like a part of my heart's been left in that country. I've been impacted. It does challenge you. It takes on all your nice little comfort zones. You're in a place you don't know. You don't know what's coming up next. You're always input. So it's like you come away with a bit of overload. But when you stand back and look and you see, well, look what the Lord has done. And I'm trusting the seeds that have been deposited will prove very fruitful.
Mm, amen.
People traveled from Goma. We were quite close to the Goma border at the top. Only time I felt any nervousness was when someone got cross when we took a photo and I suddenly saw a bit of anger. And I only realized on the last day when I went to the Genocide Museum quite what these people have been through. 1.5 million people slaughtered, whole families destroyed. And yet before me I saw a nation that was hardworking. Everybody walks, everyone cycles, everyone's pushing bricks up hills and planting fields. And it's just this productivity and it's just this fertility in the ground. And it's the fastest growing economy in Africa. Just got a AAA rating for their banks. They call it the little Switzerland of Africa.
Wow.
And I thought, man, this is a country that was decimated, absolutely on its knees. Husbands seeing their wives and children raped and murdered. And the most horrific things. And yet these people smile and they're hardworking and they they love Jesus. It's just an amazing faith in this place. And so from a seed that dies, there can be great fruitfulness. I was very proud of my husband, who did a most amazing sermon on the Father heart. And it was challenging for both of us. We're not used to giving sermons. We're not used to being in front. So for us, it was a huge, like a hurdle that we overcame of our own insecurities and fears. And actually, you've got to step out and do that. Mm. You can't let your fear control you. You have to go beyond the fear. And the amazing thing that Manny always used to say and Brad used to say is that there is a special anointing in the nations. And when I stood up and gave a word, it was like this peace that just came over me. And I thought, oh, they're telling the truth. But you can hear that in theory. But until you actually step out and do that thing, that's when the anointing comes and backs you up. It's like we're this little person, this huge Michael angel comes behind you and just says, you can do it. And he did it. I had the opportunity to give a prophetic word that first day that came upon me. And a lady came up and said, that word was for me. She was a mother of 10 and her son was on drugs and she was in tears every time he wasn't at church, and she saw all the other young men worshipping and she said she was in tears. So I'm carrying her in my heart and trusting her that her son Moses will be completely healed.
Wow.
Another pastor from Goma came and we got chatting to him. He'd been to the Equip and he shared how the Equip here in South Africa totally impacted him. Mm. He kept coming to sit with us and wanted us to speak to him. And I got to hear that he has been childless for 20 years. So with the testimony of Brad and Charissa burning in my heart with joy, I was able to pray for him. And I'm believing that he's going to have children. I'm really looking forward to that report.
Beautiful,
Yeah, so that was good. And lastly, it was easy for us because Manny and Brad and Mark Goodfellow have actually cleared the path. So we were just walking in paths that were already cleared. Yes, we had our own struggles to just get over our own insecurities. But actually, it was part that had already been cleared by amazing men who've actually been trailblazers. So whether you go and trailblaze yourself or you follow behind, either way, you'll be blessed. And I just want to say one last thing. I just wanted to thank everyone here who had prayed for this group, really. The power of the intercessory prayers. Annette, sorry, I know. We're just so blessed to go under the covering of a body of people who are behind us, rooting for us and rooting for the kingdom.
Beautiful, eh?
Sorry, I just want to say one last thing. I also really admired and honored the ladies, my wife Sandy, that were there. It's not easy for a lady in those environments. I've got to tell you, the toilets are not the best, but they managed, and there were three ladies, and they were incredible. They were such a blessing.
Amen, Tony. Amen, eh? Sure. Very good. Wow. Well, Jesus is great, eh? Jesus be praised. You guys are an incredible blessing. And, folk, I want to encourage every single one of you. But just think about this quickly. The King of the nations, Jesus, is seated on the throne of heaven and sees everything going on everywhere, right? And he sees a church in the northern suburbs of Johannesburg with a heart to obey him. And he opens a door 4 hours away on a flight in the middle of Africa, that's the door. He's open for us. And when we step into that thing, the King of the Nations is pleased that we've honored His word and have taken His gospel and His goodness to those people over there. And we come back home and the King of the Nations keeps working. But that's what Jesus has decided for us. And that's what we do. And we want to do it well. And we want to serve it as best as we can. But that is not what it's all about. Because for every single one of us here, He's got a door for you to walk through that's perhaps right next door to your house. There's people that are in your business, that are in your school, that wherever it is, that need Jesus right now. If God can send people to the ends of the earth, He can send you to your neighbor. Perhaps you're the Good Samaritan who loves his neighbor. Perhaps God's going to use you in a mighty way. But let's start to influence and impact someone for Jesus. Start at home. Start with your kids. I want to pray for us. And the Lord said, for these 3 years now, I've been seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I've found none. And then the attendant said, Lord, dig around it and put manure on. This time next year, we'll look again. I want to pray for every one of us here. Over the next year, we would see fruit. I pray, Lord, and I prophesy over this church that you will bear much fruit and fruit that lasts. I declare over you fruitfulness. Even if there are barren wombs in this place, be healed. Be fruitful in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, where there's been things in our lives and in our hearts that have been sucking up the ground and are vain, that today they get cut at the root. If there's anything that's been distracting us, TV screens, iPad screens, computer screens, every other screen has been screening us from the beauty that's in our family, from the beauty that's in our children, from the beauty that's in our wives, from the beauty that's on this earth in you, great God. Today, that thing gets cut at the root in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. And that everything that is robbing the ground and robbing our energy and robbing our finances because it's for vain pursuits, today it ends in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord God, in this place. God is patient with you. And though it took 3 years, it might take many more years, but whatever it is, God says, I have not forgotten about you. I'm not going to just cut you off. I will put into you what you need to see fruit. I have chosen you. I have called you. I have saved you. I have put my spirit in you. I will see fruit in your life. I am overseeing my word. I'm watching over it to perform it. And that which I've sown, that which is in the ground in your life will not return to me empty, says the Lord. It will accomplish everything for which I set it out to do. Today, you will be fruitful again. If you have not received Jesus Christ into your heart and life, if you need Jesus, would you just put up your hand? You say, my life is fruitless. If you say, I'm just not seeing anything happen. I'm broken. I need Jesus. I need the fruitful one in my life to bear fruit through my life. If you've been feeling empty, you've been feeling like nothing's coming of your life, all your pursuits, all your efforts, all the things that you put all your time and energy into, has just come to nothing. If you're in this place and you say, oh God, I can't live like that. I need you. Today, Jesus, the fruitful one, God, Jehovah Shammah, the fruitful God, wants to enter into your life and produce fruit. If you're here and you say, I need that. I need Jesus, the fruitful one in my life. Would you put up your hand? Anyone, for the first time. First time. Beautiful. Beautiful. Don't you want to come up here? I want to pray for you, please. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Anyone else? What's your name? Father God, I want to pray for Primrose. As she's just accepted you by stepping out here, by putting her faith in you, Jesus. I want to pray right now. That every fruitless thing that has taken place in her life would die. And you, Lord God, would fill her with your spirit. And I thank you for freedom, and I thank you for fruitfulness, and I thank you for the glory of God. You have been designed for Jesus to live inside of you. Right now, receive Jesus and begin to let Him live through you in a mighty and wonderful way. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Somebody can take her. One of the deacons. Thanks, Tara. Just want to pray with her. Can somebody go with a lady? Thank you, Carol. And amen. Gee, we need to take up the tithes and offerings. I'll pray for a fruitful bag of tithes and offerings. How's that?
Hi, guys. My name's Tony. I'm from Durban. I came up here for my son's wedding on Wednesday, and it gave me an opportunity to meet with some of my family that I haven't seen for many, many years. At the age of 17, I lost my mom, which was this beautiful woman here, Rita's sister. From that time, Rita has been my surrogate mom. I gave my life to the Lord at the age of 21, and it was only 4 years ago, like Moses after traveling in the desert for 40 years, that I realized what I was missing. And it was through Rita's love, support, and everything that I eventually got back on the road. So today, I just want to honor this member of your family.
Amen. Beautiful. Beautiful.
And just say, thanks so much, Mom, for what you've done. I love you lots.
Absolutely, absolutely, Tony. Amen. Father, we honor women like Rita. We thank you for this fruitful lady. We thank you, God, for the seeds that she's sown that have produced great crops of great harvest in people's lives. This woman has been used by you, Lord, to disciple many. She can stand before your throne and hear you speak over her, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, you have used her mightily, and I pray that she would be a prophetic picture of every one of our lives. They would give our lives for the sake of disciples being made for Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you would continue to increase the fruitfulness that she sees and that we see through her life. And I pray for every one of us here, God, that would use us mightily, mightily. Help us to make the adjustments over this next year. Help us to make the adjustments in our finances. Help us to simplify our budgets and our diaries. Help us, oh God, to recognize what's robbing the ground and to make the adjustments. If we have to simplify, if we have to sell things, if we have to cut back, if we have to move house, if we have to whatever it is, Lord, help us, Lord God, with courage to do what's going to bear fruit. Maybe it seems like we're going to go backwards a little bit, but Lord God, once you've plowed a field, it doesn't look like there's anything there, but once the seed is in the ground, before long, the whole place is full of your fruitfulness. God be glorified. Thank you for Rita always glorifying you. And we glorify you this morning. We give you praise, Jesus. We lift you up. Let's give the Lord a hand. We praise you, God, in every way. In your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Are there announcements?
Hello, everyone. Okay, it's not a testimony, it's just something I really thought I needed to share. So, Facebook isn't always a bad thing. I use it a lot for a tool to motivate me, and you know, you receive the most beautiful things on Facebook sometimes, and for me it's a tool to pass that message on to other people. So this one, whoa, really like touched me the other day. So it said, people on earth hate to hear the word repent. Those in hell wish they could hear it just one more time.
Wow.
And this is pretty profound for me because, you know, all of us sitting here have got something so beautiful in us because we chose to take that opportunity to repent. And I think it would be so wrong of us to stand by and just be glad that we have it and not go out and make a difference and prevent that number in hell from increasing by not sharing what we have.
Beautiful.
So, wow, this was awesome.
Amen, that's great. Well done. Okay. Beautiful, folk. Be blessed. We'll get the announcements of things that are happening out to you. Look on Facebook. Give us your WhatsApp. God bless you, folk. You're a wonderful church. Thank you for all that you do. Be blessed.